from KQED. This is the California Report podcast. I'm Sonia Hudson in San Francisco.
And in Los Angeles, I'm John Sepulveda. And we're going to start actually with news up in Sonia's neck of the woods, which is that PG&E has told the federal government this morning it plans to file for bankruptcy later this month. This comes hours after its CEO resigned over the weekend, as I'm sure you remember, Sonia, and as it's facing mounting liabilities from recent deadly wildfires. About 130 people have died when you combine the North Bay wildfires that happened in 2017 and the Camp Fire, which happened in 2018. We're going to go now to Michael Wera. He is the director of the Climate and Energy Policy Program at Stanford University, and he joins me now to discuss PG&E's impending, apparently, bankruptcy. Michael, welcome to the California Report.
Thanks for having me on.
You and I spoke earlier by phone this morning, and one of the things you were telling me was that the savvy investor could see that PG&E was going to file for bankruptcy back in November. What was one of the tell signs that you picked up on?
Well, I think many investors were concerned when PG&E drew down its revolving credit lines shortly after the Camp Fire. And companies do that when they're being cut off from other forms of credit, you know, the ability to sell bonds or stock, commercial paper markets. And that's what happened to PG&E after the Camp Fire. So once that happened, really the clock was ticking to a bankruptcy filing. And often companies draw down their credit lines before they file, so they have cash on hand going into a bankruptcy.
Now, one of the other things you told me when we were talking on that phone conversation earlier this morning is that what this really is a salvo to negotiate with the legislature and, more importantly, new Governor Gavin Newsom. Tell us why you think that this filing is a signal to these policymakers that PG&E wants to negotiate with them.
The reality is that PG&E is in an untenable position, right? So even if they could continue to operate outside of bankruptcy for some period of time, long run, they are in a situation where they're going to end up in bankruptcy. And so they need either to go through that process and hopefully emerge on the other end or get state assistance to avoid it. And I think announcing that they're going to file within 15 days is a way to really get the attention of the state and hopefully supercharge those negotiations.
Well, Governor Newsom just released a statement moments ago, and he said, quote, "Throughout the months ahead, I will be working with the legislature and all stakeholders on a solution." That does not sound like he's moving in an urgent fashion when he says things like "throughout the months ahead."
I think that's right. And we don't, it's not completely clear yet where the new administration and Governor Newsom are on this issue, like whether they're willing to provide some support now or support later.
And Michael, let's not forget that the victims of these fires, if the bankruptcy does go through, they're going to get pennies on the dollar for whatever their claims are. Last question to you, and this might be too big to answer now, but I'm wondering if PG&E is one of the first large economic company casualties of this new climate reality we live in. Are they a victim of climate change?
I think it is certainly the case that climate change has played an enormous factor in what has happened to PG&E. And what's happening to California, right? Recognize that it's not just PG&E that's suffering, right? It's the victims of all of these fires. It's the people that were made sick by the terrible air quality over the last couple of years associated with the fires. So we are all suffering because of the impacts of climate change. But the other thing to remember is that there's lots that we can do about it, right? We can operate the electricity system in a different way that is safer. We can decide to build in ways that are safer. We can decide not to build in places that are inherently dangerous due to climate change. And so we have agency in how this plays out.
That was Stanford Director of the Climate and Energy Policy Program, Michael Wera, joining us by phone. Michael, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
And you know, Sonia, it's so interesting for me to think that this idea that we have agency, we've known climate change is happening in some regard for, you know, decades, and we haven't exercised that agency. So is this going to be something, this PG&E bankruptcy, is this going to be something that wakes California up and perhaps other folks around the world to take more action? We don't know.
We don't. I mean, PG&E did file for bankruptcy back in 2001, and clearly there are still a lot of issues at the company. So we'll see what a difference this makes.
That's true. And I want to talk about agency in a different form, Sonia, because in any other normal news cycle, which, you know, what's normal anymore?
It doesn't exist.
This story, yeah, exactly. This story would be the biggest, and that is that the LA Teachers Union had authorized a strike last year. And today they have hit the picket lines. Some 30,000 teachers are on the streets today, essentially striking, demanding some concessions from LA Unified.
Yeah, and just to give a sense of scale of how big LA Unified is, here are some countries that have actually fewer people than the school district has students. Luxembourg, Malta, the Bahamas, Belize, Cayman Islands, Bermuda, Western Sahara, and Iceland.
And French Guiana, and Martinique, and Grenada. Is it Grenada or Grenada? I don't even know.
Well, we debated maybe that earlier. It is Grenada, allegedly.
Okay, it is Grenada. You know what? I wish I would have learned that in school. Unfortunately, I didn't. And there are going to be about some 600,000 students who aren't going to be learning in school as this strike continues. Now, what the teachers want are higher pay. The district has so far offered about a 6% increase, which is a large raise in any other industry. But because teachers are so poorly paid, they say, starting off with 6% is not a lot. The second thing they want are smaller class sizes, and the district has offered about 2 fewer students per class, depending on whether it's a middle school or high school. High school could be up to 3 students. That was rejected by the union. And the other thing that the union is asking for are more nurses and counselors. And this is interesting, Sonia, especially because I was thinking about your life. You're about 22, 23, am I right?
You are correct.
So you have grown up in the era of mass shootings, right? Like when you went to school?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it really picked up for my younger siblings. I have a brother that's still in high school, and they sat down and had a conversation in his classroom about, you know, mass shootings. And the fear is very real for them that they could go to school one day and that could become their reality at their school.
So the reason I brought that up was because part of the reason they want counselors is because of mass shootings, opioid addiction, some of these social ills we're seeing trickle down to the school level. The teachers union wants to see a lot more staff who are able to support these students who are dealing with these social ills.
Yeah, and we will follow this strike as long as it goes. But let's turn now to a federal judge in Oakland who has temporarily blocked a Trump administration policy that would exempt more employers from offering birth control coverage for their workers. KQED's Caroline Champlin reports.
The policy was set to go into effect today and would have let private companies opt out of contraceptive coverage required by the Affordable Care Act on religious or moral grounds. California left 12 other states and the District of Columbia in asking Judge Haywood Gilliam to halt what they called a discriminatory policy. Gilliam agreed, saying it could have dire public health and fiscal consequences, and blocking the rule from taking effect in the 14 jurisdictions. In a statement, California Attorney General Javier Becerra says the decision stops an attempt by the Trump administration to trample on women's access to reproductive care. The parties are expected to meet later this month to work towards a final resolution. For the California Report, I'm Caroline Champlin.
All right, let's look at another story now. California's pesticide regulator says it's ramping up efforts to go after individuals and companies that violate licensing laws. So why is this a big deal? Here's KQED's Alex Hall.
The stepped-up enforcement comes after a string of investigations found evidence of falsified records and violations of other laws designed to ensure that those who spray chemicals have the right training. The most egregious, DPR fined Visalia-based company P&L Marketing, Inc. $50,000 for offering fast-track test prep that the agency said essentially replicated the state's own licensing exam. A representative from United Farm Workers said violations like these don't just put licensed applicators at risk, they also put other workers at risk who do the spraying for them. A spokesman for P&L Marketing admitted fault. He said settling the case and moving on was the most beneficial option. DPR says it's now looking into other companies, and more fines are expected. For the California Report, I'm Alex Hall in Fresno.
Now, one of my favorite parts of growing up in California is seeing the monarch butterflies every winter, but they have not been doing so well recently. Volunteers are tallying up the population of California's monarch butterflies in an annual New Year's count that just wrapped up this weekend. KQED's Tiffany Kamhai reports preliminary numbers have already shown that 2018 was a really rough year for them.
The preliminary count of the western population of monarch butterflies, which mostly live, breed, and overwinter in California, found an 86% population drop in 1 year. Historically, the state has hosted millions of the iconic butterfly, but in 2018, just over 20,000 were counted. That's according to the conservation nonprofit Xerces Society, which organizes the census. Volunteer Mia Monroe, who helps lead the annual counts in the Bay Area, says numbers have been dwindling for several years, but this is unprecedented.
What's been hard for me is I remember the millions of monarchs of the 1980s. We only have less than 1% of the monarchs that we once historically had.
While the exact cause of the drop is not known, Monroe says generally habitat loss, severe droughts, and the increased use of pesticides threaten the butterflies. Final monarch population numbers are expected to be released later this month. For the California Report, I'm Tiffany Kamhai.
We are hearing the Friends music because I'm looking at a picture of Drake as, what is it, every single Friends character ever, Sonia?
Yeah, it's really incredible. I never thought that I wanted to see a depiction of Drake as Rachel, but now that I have, I don't know how I've been living without it for this long.
We should explain what we're talking about. DJ Booth, which is a hip-hop site, one of our favorite sites, they have come up with ranking every hip-hop artist, notable hip-hop artist of the last two decades as a television show. For example, Eminem is Lost. I want to read a little bit about what they said about Eminem. They said, the first few seasons of ABC's Lost were arguably three of the most thrilling and engaging seasons in TV history. Then it goes on to talk about how the show lost its way. I think that could be used to describe Eminem. And then for Drake, we should say, he has been recast as all of the characters from Friends.
Yeah,
he's friends with himself.
Yeah, he's friends with himself. Drake's got a lot of feelings. Like the characters in Friends have a lot of feelings. I think it was a good matchup.
The other ones that really made me laugh really hard, Nicki Minaj is The Walking Dead. We're going to encourage everyone to read DJ Booth for themselves. You can find a link to what we're laughing about by going to my Twitter feed. I'm at JohnLGC. As for now, this has been the California Report podcast for what's the day today? The 14th? The 14th of January, a Monday. Have a great day.
Bye.
Support for the California Report comes from Block Construction, a builder committed to enhancing communities in the Bay Area and Central Coast. BLACH.com, Block Construction, together building greatness. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.